that's an immensely long way. I think all of Stephen's fears is it's not going to look big enough.
Forget that.
It's a shock.
So I would imagine that, with even with 30 school children in there, that hut would still be quite a big house. Hall, one palace. You've got more evidence than when I had to do Northampton Great Hall. There's supposedly one of these Saxon Great Halls there.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of questions have been answered.
A lot more questions. No, I mean, we were just saying, I'm mainly observer, and stuff, but it's a lot of questions been answered, a lot of questions been asked. Which is the right way.
Has it made sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
We were saying, the good thing about it is it gives me particularly a sense of how big the space will actually look, even when the structure's inside it. I mean, we've got this much more sort of longitudinal structure if we keep to this roof pattern that's in here, but it's still on the long axis. Our display area for construction is still as wide as your building there. So it's still going to be, when you first walk in and you tend to look ahead of you, it's still going to look quite impressive. You're going to be looking through here to the other end with these a bit more of a forest of posts because of the way that the construction. But in some ways, that will make you think, what's in there? I think
it's going to be extremely exciting. The whole thing, you know, as a piece of museology.
Museology,
but it's now become accepted, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it called making science out of an art?
I thought it was creating PAs. It is going to be very, very impressive indeed. What's going to be fun, if this is what you want done, is to build it in the open air and then put it inside a building. Because that's what we're proposing to do.
Well, the intriguing thing in that as a scientific experiment is you will at least see the pattern with the building that's built. We can then build the pattern of the rest of it almost just as a plan, and you can actually get a set. You could walk across the whole building out here, which you'll never do in here.
Yeah.
But you could actually look at his theory on the ground. I mean, it wouldn't be very difficult either, even if you didn't build it, to then photograph it. And well, then I could, or somebody could easily then draw on, you get a sense of the structure drawn.
Why don't we video the thing? And then you could actually paint in on the video film. Because we can computerize that. And then you just put in the bits you want to put in.
Oh, it's so easy. You just digitize it, and then you put it on an Avid mix, and you can actually build. You could build the hut. Then you can actually walk around it. You can animate it on one of these architectural models with building.
That would be fun. Mm-hmm.
Not difficult. I mean, Flash Graphics, who we use. I mean, they did fly over Roman bars and then into Roman bars, all reconstructed. The water and the changing. I mean, it's all possible.
Mm.
All it takes is a few bubbles from somewhere to do it. But I mean, if you start something like this, it's seeing once you could get this, is can we get some sponsorship from some companies to actually get involved? To look at it.
But it means, also it means it's an extension of the experiment. It doesn't end just
with
the building. You're actually moving into a new dimension in the last 10 minutes. You were talking about the fun.
My job is to get it built on site, on time, on budget. I just get enthusiastic about it.
Yeah, but you're right. This is why I think that we should drop the word reconstruction and stay with construct.
Yeah.
I see no problem in talking about an experiment in terms of the exhibition either, because I think the next generation would respect that far more than a fait accompli. And I think that we need to feed the next generation rather than pander the present one. I would suggest. I mean, I think the whole concept is very exciting. As you notice from my tracks back to you, bloody enormous. And having built that thing on the site, and the sheer quantity of wood in the lump is frightening. It is really frightening. And then you fell a tree in the forest, and you pull it out, and it's sort of 30 centimeters in diameter, which means it's very heavy. You shove that on the back of a vehicle, and you realize that is only 1/40th, if you like, of the uprights required. You know that, thinking of Asterix and the mansions of the gods, have you read this? This kind of wonderful where they keep blowing trees up. It's exactly like that, building one of these bloody things. I mean, we'll haul in 4 uprights at a time on a Land Rover for this.
I don't think people realise, even nowadays, how big things are. I was asked the National Museum of Wales to work out the evolution of Wales Gallery. Why was it so difficult to get everything to come together at the end? And I said, does anybody, this was the director of the unit, have you ever thought how many people are involved in this? And I came to the conclusion, if you discounted production of raw materials, there were 12,000 people who'd been involved actively on that museum gallery to get it finished.
Yeah.
And that was forgetting raw material, going really
That's strong. Forgetting getting the stuff.
It's an amazing number and volume of things that will go into it. I mean, it would be a shame if it only, even if all that happens is enough structure gets built, enough structure goes in into the gallery, that the recording of it isn't done in such a way, but that, you're not going to get a chance to dig one of these sites for a long, long time.
Mm.
I mean, I think if we can persuade Stephen that this is the way to go, and it has a long-term spin-off in terms of understanding the archaeology of the island, surely that's got to be a benefit for the long-term programme for MNH. In fact, what I do, all I want is that gallery on time.
Yeah, okay.
But, I mean, it would seem a shame if nothing else comes out of it.
Yeah.
And either you build another one at the same time, you build two up, that's a lot of timber, or you learn from it, and one of the next projects is to build it.
Mm.
Not while you're trying to do this, but as the follow-on. Having found out what's wrong, because if there's a problem with the structure in this, as I say, there is always the get out, we can strap it back.
Oh yeah, we can strap
that
in the wall.
In here, that's not a problem. But you would learn you would learn a lot of the things that would come about if you were going to try and do the thing to freestand out on the hillside or in a bog.
See, that's what I genuinely thought was going to do in the first place. Build it outside.
Not as simple as that.
I think that this is perfectly feasible. And we'll use more than talent on it. We won't lose fork timber. I know it's gone down.
Yeah.
No. Well, also, they're very cumbersome, actually, as a joint in it. You occupy more space with the joint than you do. And you don't get any levels either.
No.
I mean, that's one thing we were thinking is how these jointed. Because if you use a system supposedly like this, you start occupying inordinate amounts of space just getting the joints.
Yeah.
Whereas if you use more sustainably, you get all your levels.
Yeah. What do you think of the joint you're going to have?
Incredibly simple. I mean, this is it's one of the things that struck me that, apart from, say, detail things like that door hinge, which I thought was amazing, the simplicity is the key, really.
Well, I just was sent this through the post, this thing that came in British Archaeology, whatever.
Oh, that! Yeah, I've heard a copy of that.
And I got deeply pissed off about this. It says, at Butser Farm, the roundhouse roof was pitched at an angle of 45 degrees, and it was thatched by a skilled professional thatcher. I did it. Then he goes on to say, this seems to me to have been a mistake, because it means that the thatch was put on in the modern way. Pillocks. On my round houses, by contrast, I simply tied layers of water reeds onto the roof in the simplest way possible. You can't tie it on more simply than it is on that roof. It's tied on in bundles.
But
the fact that it's put together properly is beside the point.
I think it's presumptuous to think that Iron Age people didn't care what their facts looked like.
Exactly. Especially a bloody building as big as that.
Yeah.
There's 16 acres worth of straw on that roof. 16 ton of it. And you don't go out and do that and make a shitty old mess of it. And when you look at the picture, you'll see what I mean. And it goes on. My room seemed to work extremely well for three reasons. First, because rain runs off and quickly, well, that's the object of any bloody roof, before it has a chance to seep through. That's why roofs are pitched at 45 degrees, not 50, but it doesn't matter. You use more thatch at 50 degrees than anything else. Then she says, a third less thatch than those at Butser Farm, without giving any figures. Now, the standard depth of thatch on any roof is a foot. You know, you can end up with thatch this deep. As we all know, there's a lovely case in Eastmere. You'd like this one because it's the classic Anne Hathaway cottage. Right? Big gables, huge roof, overhanging the edge of the walls by this much. Had a fire. So they rethatched it. And it now looks like a sort of pimple roof on a great carbuncle of a building. Because it's now thatched as it was when it was new. Like this thick. And as soon as that begins to wear out, they'll put up what they call a half coat on. So it'll be twice as thick. And if they can't afford it, they'll put yet another half coat on top of that. That's how you end up with these bloody great roofs. A yard and a half thick. But it looked so peculiar when they took this roof off and suddenly Anne Hathaway's cottage was reduced to a sort of straight up and down with an overhanging eave just a foot wide. But I was really pissed off by that. A, she's never read anything I've written. And B, she hasn't understood it. And thirdly, you cannot live in the past. We can't step out of our own time. I don't even want to.
It's a very difficult one, though. Living history science.
It's nonsense. It's an inadequacy in the people involved. You said, not knowing about your own inadequacies, but I do believe that they find that they cannot cope, and this is a way of releasing stress. So they dress up in funny clothes and they lose their own personality. They can't cope.
As the only one I've ever been to now that has convinced me it's a piece of theatre, and it was Danvers Theatre, it was Plymouth Plantation. Because
that's theatre.
Because they all are characters, and it happens in one, you know, the same year revolves over and over again.
Mm.
And it is the most wonderful 3D theatre.
Yeah.
And if you take it for that, it does have a value.
But they get into their Cadillacs and Plymouths and
Hewitts
and go home at 5 o'clock.
Yes, that's right.
There's none of this bloody nonsense about living in the past at all. They are there as actors. And they are paid as actors.
Yeah.
And they are bloody good.
Well, I mean, it's a good, very good education experience.
Yeah.
My wife had a good hour's discussion with one family about, she asked why the husband wasn't cooking. And because they can't talk about anything beyond the date, he laughed. They're immensely, incredibly quick at responding to a question which they shouldn't be able to answer at all.
Yeah.
And he thought that she'd made a joke. Men cooking.
Yeah.
And then the wife got involved, and we had an hour's discussion about the relationship between men and women in the early colonies in Plymouth. It was fantastic.
Yeah. Which is great.
But it was theatre. And half the time you were sitting thinking, not these people live like this, but these are damn good actors.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And in this particular context as well, this is precisely what she will do.
Yeah. This is a good piece of theatre.
It's going to be a good piece of theatre, and with any luck, you'll wheel in a couple of actors to tell stories. Is that right, Andy, or not?
Well, we can't afford living actors.
These are people, maybe on the island that want to do it.
Yeah.
But we think with this, a lot of the time, a lot of it's going to run on an audio, and that it's going to be good. I mean, if you like, the two things is you want a very good dramatic theatrical setting, and then the best BBC radio drama to happen in people's heads that we can get. And that's the brief to the AV people as well, is to do that, so that we'd get that combination.
Sonic in the air, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the first thing is when people walk in is to go,
that's right. As I hope you did when you went in the big house.
Okay. I mean, I think in many ways, you almost ought to direct people around that site to the small houses first, because they'll think, oh, this is what we thought they were like. You know,
yeah.
So
Yeah, they're all right.
Pots.
Yeah, they're all right, you know. And then...
It's actually
seen,
you know, it's
probably seen
bigger inside than outside.
Oh, much more so.
But that's a function of the cone, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's very odd. Mm. I mean, a circle is the cheapest way of confining space.
Mm.
But I never cease to be amazed, and even though Dave and I built the thing, nice tools to build it. You still get a huge buzz when you walk through that door, even now. Mm-hmm. And you think that he is a 32-ton byway across 38 feet. And then you think of the Greek and Roman temples that they couldn't span.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only when they found gypsies that they could create cement.
You almost, you wonder whether with this structure here, you've almost got a, like a retrograde step.
It's not as advanced as that.
No, it's almost going back and saying, we haven't got any reeds, what do we do? And then going back to an arch structure again, which is taking dead load with lots of columns in it.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Which you wonder if it is, you know, the people who came could build these, but actually were then doing this to solve a local problem.
Yeah.
Which is, you know.
Mm. There's lots of interesting aspects to those structures that we can play with.
It'd be terrible if you found you just got rings and rings and a tiny little hut in the middle. Like a maze.
Oh, God.
It's a bus shelter. We'll take the grand view of this one, I think.
Yeah, it's a solution to a lack of thatch.
But is there fragmites and abundance there?
No.
That's interesting. You've got stagnant zones or waterlogged zones and no rivery. No reed.
I've not seen any standing reed anywhere.
No.
It would be worth checking up on the paleobotany, such as it might be, certainly the pollen cores, to see if you've got fragmites there.
Oh, yeah, you should do that.
Yeah.
How far north is fragmites?
Oh.
I don't know, I mean, just don't ask you that dumb question. Does it appear? Yeah.
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 Yes, I mean, apart from wheat straw, the only other stuff you've got is marram grass, or bent, as it's called on the island.
It's horrible stuff.
Yeah. It's used for thatching north of the island.
Yeah. You could use it as an under thatch for the turf.
Mm.
What's the tradition of turf buildings there, or turf house, turf roof structures?
It's traditionally assumed that medieval shearlings were roofed with turf.
Yeah.
You get turf-walled houses into, well, certainly the late 19th century.
Yeah.
And there are undoubtedly buildings in corners of farmyards and so on that have got earth walls and so on. You get interesting composite buildings with stone gables and
turf
long walls and so on. Basically, because if you can guarantee the pitch of the roof and put a chimney through the gable as well, sort of killing two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
But certainly, I think I would suspect that if those forms of construction are continuing into the 19th century, then they probably
19th century BC
suggest that they're going.
Yeah. Oh, I would
right
too.
Back.
The only thing that troubled me was in Berceau's excavation, there is no reference to an overburden. And if it had a turf roof, the turf roof has gone somewhere, and the answer is vertical. And did he recognise it at the time? Because certainly he doesn't mention it retrospectively. But you would expect there to have been a layer.
Well, this is where the theory of the why there are mesolithic flints above the...
That makes admirable sense. You know, if you're gathering turf.
Yeah.
The other interesting thing is I did some research some while ago which said that most of the deposits that you're going to get, arguably, as Darwin suggests, are going to be at the bottom of the worm-sorted topsoil. That's all right up to a point, but you'll also get stuff in the root-bonded layer, the base of turf. Do you remember the experiment I carried out with black plastic? I've always been interested in the argument and trying to prove that it's critical that the topsoil is an archaeological layer. Look at me a little bit askance.
No,
it's an archaeological layer insofar as whenever you excavate and you talk to an excavator, and it's happened to me too.
Oh, yeah, take the topsoil.
They say, get rid of the topsoil, it means nothing.
Yeah.
And then you say, where are all the finds from this site which is bloody sterile except for post holes in which you find the post holes? They always all respond. Well, if that's the case, then the topsoil has got to be a functional layer. Because prehistoric man lived on the same bit of surface that we're walking on now. Nothing has changed, really.
Mm.
It's not been eroded, it's not been blown away, certainly not in our climate. Therefore, you're going to find artifactual evidence in the topsoil. And so we carried out a long series of trials which said, how far does it move on action? And the answer is about a metre. It goes on random walkabouts. You'll lose about 10%, which is spread infinitely wide. But the other 90% is actually concentrated, which is why when you and I go field walking with people, we say, good Lord, we've got a Roman site here, because it's full of Roman bloody pottery. And yet that field has been ploughed for the last 2,000 years. And everybody says, but it's infinitely distributed, because the plough is an inanimate object, which has been through it an infinite number of times. Therefore, it's just spread. But it's not true, because if a farmer did that, half of Douglas would be now presumably down the water.
It just goes, it goes right round and round in a small space.
That's exactly right. And the small space is about a metre from point of view position. Therefore, if you excavate the topsoil, the artifacts you find in it can be associated to a very large extent, although not definitely, with the features there under.
Did that this year. Luckily we had 80 students to break up all the topsoil.
Yeah. And did it work?
It was very interesting, the amount of stuff that came out of the box.
Mm. And was it sociable with what was underneath?
Yeah.
Well, this is the point I've been making for Jan. Yeah, it's got to be true. But I have been a lone voice calling in the wilderness. Well, what's the next step then, gentlemen?
Well, the next, I think the next step is for me to go away and sort the budgets out with Jan and come back with a figure and say, given, I'll have to, well, first thing I'll have to do is talk to Stephen and say that I'm going to do that just for protocol's sake. But I think that'll be the next step, is I'll come back with almost a formal letter which says, this is what we propose, this is what can be achieved, because we'll have to satisfy law, which means we have to prove that you are the and one and only person who could possibly do this if we don't put it out to tender. Which is a difficult thing to tender one of these. So we can just prove it's a so specialist you don't have to do that, but I still have to show that I've done due process. So I'll go through those hoops and hopefully within 5 to 10 days, I would have thought at the very outside, I can get you a piece of paper which you can really start thinking about whether it's feasible.
Okay, well, that's feasible.
Yeah, I mean, but financially, I mean, that's the financial
I need a global sum from you which says I will get X, whatever it is.
And I'll also describe
exactly what we said today is the process we wish to do it by. And
yeah. And you don't have an initial idea of what kind of money that would be?
No, I really got to. There's so many complex. Because at the moment, what we're talking about essentially is, to keep it simple, the skeleton structure. I need to pull some other bits out of figures I've got in my head at the moment and just make sure. I don't want to give you a figure and then find I'm wrong.
Yeah, okay.
So I can, I mean, that I can probably float to you within 2 days, but it won't get a formal letter from
No, don't do that. For the simple reason that my movements now, tomorrow night I disappear.
So you're away for 4 nights?
I go to Turkey and I'm away for 2 weeks. And I'm back for a week.
Well,
so during that week I'm back, if you like, give me a bell or send me
I will make sure that there is something here for when you get back, and I'll call you when you get back as well.
Okay. And it's a case of you'll be dealing with me and not with the farm. Okay?
Yeah.
Which is the better way around. And you really want a piece of letter that I had, don't you?
Let me get the one of them. These can stay. I bought these as spare stuff. It's lovely.
And what I just don't have, of course, is a card. Anyway, if they question the sort of qualifications, especially the professional ones, I remember the Institute of Biofield Archaeologists. Well, you know this, don't you? If I'm not well enough knowing the hell, I never will be.
Your green card.
The green card, yeah. Have you seen these?
Instant access into America.
Your green card.
it's a green visiting card. There was a special deal done by a printer some years ago, taking out any colour. And I had a whole lot of cards done on green, which was all right.
In the meantime, I think what we need to do at our end is think quite a lot about the scenario and of what it is we're trying to create inside.
Yeah.
I think because that will very much then control our coming back to you with questions which I suppose broadly could be termed to do with set dressing.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's one thing I was thinking. What we may need to do is, besides the construction, is put an element in of X number of days for research or assistance for providing information with regard to. I don't know whether you want me to do that. And that's something I need to talk to Stephen about, is whether it's coming out of the capital budget or whether it's coming out of any other budgets that you have set aside.
Yes.
But
good old ancient money has already been
raided, has it?
Well bashed this year.
I don't know. I mean, if Stephen says it comes out the capital budget, it comes out the capital budget. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's not my money anyway.
But those, you know, I think, again, when it comes to dressing the scene, it's something we can all argue about and come up with an end product which would be useful.
Mm.
But my ambition, if you give me the go-ahead and the money's right, then it would be an ambition here anyway to get the guts of this done as soon as possible, in the sense that A, we wanted to weather so it has that feeling of ease.
Yeah.
B, we all need as a group to look at it in terms of space and what it means. So I would be anxious to set out, you know, the plan that you've got across there, which I presume is a detailed and exact copy of the archaeology.
All we've done is taken the archaeology from the archaeological report.
So I can work from your plan.
Yes, and we'll drop that directly into the building.
Yeah. So in fact what we'll do is drop that plan on the site, and we will erect posts accordingly with the rings in place.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be looking to try and get that done by Easter next year. As being a realistic target, maybe before. If I got it done before, then I'd give you a bell and say, you know, can't say, come on over and we'll spend the weekend bashing the back. Because the winter is a good time for me, rather than the springtime. The springtime, suddenly everything goes crazy. You know, since April, my feet haven't touched the ground, which is the case. you do get a chance in the winter time to suck on a glass of port and you know, generally think about things. And it's oddly enough more comfortable to do that, so we could spend maybe a weekend, but I can put you up here if you're prepared for simple accommodation.
Hmm.
Yeah, well, yeah, question. No, make fresco terrace. So we could do things like that, but I think you would need that kind of barnstorming exercise. I personally like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I like team. People always excuse me, being totally arrogant. It's not true that I think team discussions are where you make real progress, because there's argument. You know, the deus ex machina is a pain in the ass.
Happy?
Yeah.
They've gone.
Yeah. You can leave these with you as
further.
So and I'll food for thought. By the time you get back, I'll get you a pack of other stuff that goes with. So you just got a sense of where this all fits in.
Yeah, that would be good. And as I say, all I need then is just confirmation that you want me to do the job.
Yeah.
Did I send? I think I sent you our glossy brochure straight away. It would just give you an outline of exactly what was going in. Building.
If you did, I can't remember it.
Right.
That's the nicest
huge
way.
One.
Yeah.
You tend to notice it, don't you? It tends to take three people to lift it.
If you did send it to me, it didn't bloody well arrive.
It's right. A3 and it's that thick, isn't
no,
it?
No, it's not.
Oh, not the big.
Not that one, I mean the square glossy one that we produced to actually take to mould.
Oh, right.
Mm.
But you know, anything that fits me into it as you think I need to be busy.
Do you know Cockney Clay, the Iceni village? What's it like?
Oh.
Horrible. That's alright. I drove past it the other day thinking I must go there.
Well, sure it will do. You know, I think it's nonsense. But
yeah.
The thing that always pisses me off about nearly all these things is that people go away and make a roundhouse, and it's a growth industry building roundhouses, right? And nobody will ask two questions. First of all, why? And secondly, what can I feed back into the archaeology of the excavation? You know, and without those two questions being answered satisfactorily, there's a waste of time. Because all you're pissing around is Disneyland. And frankly, that's doesn't help any. A roundhouse, you know. And I find that whole element rather sad. Because they spend just the same amount of money, you know, for an extra, I don't know, 200 quid, you could actually ask a scientific question or something.
Mm. It's an intriguing exercise, this, isn't it? Because at the end of the day, all of these galleries are making everybody rethink what they thought about the island.
Mm.
So the exhibition has that function, if nothing else.
Yeah. But you know, just like it was mind-boggling to go into that big house, which I didn't want to be with you when you went in there at all. I mean, it's going into the beginning of this gallery and just going through the entrance and seeing a forest of timbers, right, with a focal point, is going to be quite remarkable.
Well, I still believe that since the demise of railway travel and going to church, until the coming of the shopping mall, the general public never went into big buildings. They'd lost the habit of going into big buildings.
Yes, yes, I'm
especially
right.
In this country particularly.
Yeah.
We had gone away from big buildings.
Yeah.
You didn't have to go to the town hall, you didn't go to the railway station. The only buildings we knew were domestic scale.
Yeah. But except for open plan offices.
But they're very much...
They're slots. You know, and people didn't feel comfortable in that either.
But they're actually not as common as people think. I mean, still most people's offices are now like rabbit warrens, aren't they? Wherever you go.
Which is great.
Yeah.
You feel comfortable in it.
Yeah.
And you're
home. Yeah. I think the most frightening places I've been are places like the 1930 boots factories and things in Nottingham.
Yeah.
Where they are, these huge... There's the one that's built on a spiral ramp like the Guggenheim Museum. It's like 1930s German films, you know, expressionist films, you know.
Yeah.
It's strange.
But this is, I think you'll find visitors will be deeply disturbed by this.
Hmm.
Deeply disturbed.
I mean, yes. I think they will think that awful things could happen in there just because it's a sort of,
because it's going to be a weird shape, because you won't, I mean, it's going to be like being inside a slightly multi-stemmed mushroom with this very low flat, and then all the veining, it's going to look like a huge cluster of mushrooms.
Yeah.
Very strange. I don't think any of us have really got a sense of what it could be, will be like to stand
That's
in.
Right. Well, with any luck, as I say, if we get the go ahead on this, then we will get a perception of what it might be like in terms of certain framework.
Yeah. I think it also starts to develop the thoughts that we carry on with that whoever's talking in there, this idea of telling tales of myths and things, and stories. Something that wouldn't echo very much.
You will find when you've got proof on that, especially if we use some heavy material, you'll get fantastic acoustics.
It'll be absolutely dead, won't it? It'll just absorb everything.
And I'll tell you something else we could do. This would be fun. I don't know if you have a resident harpist online, or anybody who plays the guitar. Ask him to come along to a party and bring his harp with. The point being, we've actually had a harpist in not this big house, but the previous one, when he was a student, and the noise is absolutely. You'd think it would kill it stone dead, but it doesn't do it. It's the most amazing sound that you will ever hear.
Noises for any AVs.
It's exciting stuff.
The only thing I really liked about walking into that house today was just the smell.
Yeah.
It was just,
That's
Richard. Richard as in Magellan.
Ah.